You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in kind of chilly Cocoa, Florida. Mm-hmm. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
Yes, on 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, you can also hear the show after the show by downloading it under the archived, which is on demand. You just pick the date. Of course, we share all of that on our social media, which is Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and then our website, SitaMediaInc.com.
Right.
And now, for those of you who have been waiting for that podcast, the podcast is up for the last, I think, 7 shows right now, and I will be loading up all of the other shows now that I've got the hang of it, if you will. I'll be loading up all of the other shows, and you'll be able to catch us on the podcast as well, which is under Podbean, and it does get distributed to all of the major podcasting stations. So,
right. And we're still getting a lot of downloads, you said?
We last week we got 14,800 downloads.
Wow, that's good.
On one. And we run all the way up to 21. I think the highest number we had was just under 22,000 downloads in a week.
I know. People keep saying, oh, do a podcast where we could see you. I don't think you guys want to see me all
right.
the time.
It's
I don't
Monday.
Even want to see myself.
Right.
Like I said to my kids this weekend, I said, I'm not even dead yet, and I already miss myself from the planet. They're like, well, really? I said, yeah, and I'm not even gone yet, and I already miss me. So I think I'm a little bit ahead of myself there with that one. But anyways, for anyone who's tuning in today to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for the first time, on Mondays from 1 to 2, we heat up the airwaves right here in Brevard on our station here, WWBC. Ellen O'Neill is my co-host. Ali is our friend that comes to sit with us. And Danny runs our board. We speak to people here, and we talk about what we call kitchen table topics. Writing a book, reading a book, talking about why you wrote a book. Maybe you want to speak about financial literacy. Some folks want to talk about banking. They want to talk about being an educator. We've talked to people who are doctors, scientists, lawyers, whatever it is. We speak to people who would like to leave a good footprint on Mother Earth, lots of nonprofits, and lots of people who are using their voice and their culture to bring joy to others, such as India Fest right here in Brevard County, Florida, and other people all over the world. So my lineup today is pretty good. We've got a friend that I met, and as you all know, my TikTok is taking off. There's a lady that does this dance, and I'm going to have Rashmi. My friend Rashmi Shah is here in studio, and Yasmin Majid is here. They are the two of the co-chairs. There's more co-chairs of India Fest. They're going to be speaking on the second segment about the 28-year run of India Fest and all the great things they do and all the charitable things that they do here and provide. But she's going to help me with this word before I call our guest.
The dance style.
That's right. So we've got a young lady that I met. As you all know, I'm a TikTok girl, old lady. And I met this wonderful lady. Her name is Sneha Mistra. And she's a multifaceted artist from the United Kingdom. She's a choreographer, a singer, a dancer, a presenter of radio and television, and she's going to be joining us from Spain. She has studied dance at Middlesex University, and she studied, the dance is called?
It's called Bharatanatyam, and it is very famous dance in India. You have to...
That's our new
almost
co-host,
like a
Rashmi.
4 years, yeah. They have to practice that. It's a different... It's a course of 4 years.
Right, so we're going to be hearing from Sneha in a minute. And then on the second segment, we are going to discuss with the two co-chairs who are here representing India Fest about how they, what they're doing for India Fest this year and how we can partake in it on March 7th and 8th. So in the meantime, you know, I don't know, all listeners, everyone knows that arts and culture is so important, not just worldwide, but here around Brevard County as well. And we've always been advocates on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to make sure that folks here who are in office and who are not, when they're appropriating funds for arts and culture, we try to make sure that we lend our voice so that we can have things like the Cocoa Village Playhouse, and we can have things like you know, all the shows we do here in Brevard to bring culture to our town and to Brevard County. We also have, pretty soon we're going to be having, I think, the Greek Orthodox, they're doing the Greek festival,
right?
We have India Fest. Yep. We have so many things that's going on. And that's my friend, and so we're going to say hi to our friend Sneha Misra. She's on the phone from Spain. Sneha, thank you so much for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you so much for having me.
Danny, I think there's a way you wanted us to do that phone before.
That's good.
You do it. Is that how
it?
Okay. Is it. Okay. I guess, Danny, you
this
said
is it. We're all on. We're all
okay?
Over.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, girl, we hear you loud and clear. Listen, it was wonderful to chat with you this morning. You're an amazing human being, and thank you so much for using your culture and dance to bring so much joy to people, not just in India and the UK, but now you're in Spain. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you were born, and how you ended up being a dancer and doing the Bharatanatyam.
Bharatanatyam.
Bharatanatyam. That there goes my Indian co-host, Rashmi Shah.
I was born in the UK, in Birmingham, UK, many decades ago. And I studied dance and media at university. I've been dancing since I was like 8 years old. And then I also studied dance at uni, and I wanted to be a pop star. Then I started getting to singing, and I thought, the dance is working for me. People like, they like my choreography. So I started working in TV shows, just creating little pieces, because Bollywood was getting big back then. And so there was a lot of interest in what I did. And I got into Bollywood because, not because I absolutely love Bollywood movies, I watch all the time, I don't. I just love the magic and the joy of Bollywood dance, and how it really, everyone loves it. You know, everyone can get in on it. So then I started to choreograph a couple of movies and some TV shows. And then Spain happened, where I met a guy, you know, the usual story.
That's a Bollywood story in the making right there.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that happens when you're young, right? You meet a guy on holiday, you think, okay. So we had this long distance thing for about a year or so. And then I thought, let me try Madrid for a month or two. And 20 years later, I'm still here. The guy's not there, but I'm still here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, the universe is lined up so perfect today, because under our second segment today, we're going to be speaking with our good friends who 28 years ago started India Fest. And they also have a lot of dances and cultural shows and things, and try to bring the culture from India to us here in Brevard. But you also, you're a producer and an artistic director as well of musicals.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when I moved to Madrid, Spain in general is not an easy country. Although when we think of Spain, you think, oh my God, the flamenco, the art, the passion. But as an artist, it's very hard, because there isn't that much support. So you just have to really hustle. And so I basically thought, right, I want to do Bollywood. I want to base myself in Madrid. I want to travel around Spain performing and teaching. That was my goal. And then I started slowly, and I created a couple of dance shows, musicals, with you know, I hired professional dancers who obviously are not Indian dancers, but if they could do jazz, then I could teach them a little bit of Indian classical. If they could do, because of the lines, if they could do you know, funky dance, then I can teach them folk dance. So and it worked. And so I have two or three different musicals that I did over the years, traveled all over Spain and other parts of Europe, and I still teach now, and I absolutely love teaching. And now I have my own festival, and which is this year's going to be 16th anniversary, where it's a Spanish festival, but people from all over Europe come, and it's a really nice. The magical thing about Spain is it's very social. So you can't take anything too seriously. You have to enjoy yourself. So you really have to make every event special in that aspect, that people just want to have fun with it. Although they're learning as well, and they're learning about culture, and but they're also there to be inspired and also to have fun. And I've made sure that that's really been the basis of what I do. I'm not going to change the world with what I do, but I'm going to make people happy and inspired. And that's kind of my priority, my goals in life.
Yeah,
right now.
it sounds like it's your mission. But, you know, I've learned over the years that many cultures use dance to tell a story, to pass down traditions and to express community identity. For example, in Trinidad and Tobago, where I'm from, I'm Indian, obviously, but we also have people that came there back in the day from the African continent as well. And they had steel drums that we had calypso. And they passed that down, you know, from the sugarcane workers to modern day in Trinidad and Tobago. And the stories, if you ask the children, if they read a book about, you know, what happened back in the day when the Indians came to Trinidad, they probably would say, I didn't read that book. But through dance, through the art form, it remained an essential part of history. So would you say then that dance is a cultural tradition?
Well, of course. I mean, in India itself, you've got the classical dance forms, which are very pure dance, and they tell more religious-based stories. But then you've got the folk dances, and the folk dances, every single state in India has their own folk dance. And that's where you hear about the culture and the traditions that are passed on through the generations. And it is really wonderful to see. I remember when I was younger, I did a show which was just all folk dances of India, and I was learning myself, and it was incredible, all the different styles. And some are, you know, some of them are based in the fields where the farmers are working. Some are based on, you know, other parts, you know, where people work. And it's really magical. And we all saw the Bad Bunny Super Bowl, didn't we? And that was pure culture, and it was beautiful to see. And I learned so much about Puerto Rico, you know, and I loved it, absolutely loved it. Although I'm not a fan per se of big Bad Bunny.
yes, but it was a message.
The message was beautiful, obviously. But even within that, you had the culture of the dance styles of the food and everything. It was just beautiful, and that's what dance does. And I think that's why art is so important, and obviously with me it's dance, is so important to bring people together, and even if it is just for fun, but at the same time you can learn so much too, you know.
Yeah. And do you find in Spain the cultural aspect of dancing and art and culture is more so than maybe in the UK?
It's different. I mean, Spain is like I said, Spain is a very social country. So there are just this weekend was the carnival weekend. And so everyone's on the streets, and there's always something to see art-wise, which is a beauty of Spain, because they've got a lot of fiestas, lots of holidays here. And in every holiday, you will see either a band playing, dancing happening, the cultural dance of the region happening. UK also has it, because UK is such a major, massive melting pot of cultures. So there you're going to see all the different cultures as well, not just Spanish like here. And that's why in the UK, in London, you go to London, it's amazing. And even places like Liverpool, it's the cultural city of the UK now. And it's amazing to see. They really encourage it, because I think that there is a lot more funding there as well compared to Spain when it comes to the arts.
Well, you know,
so,
even
they've worked around it.
Even here in the United States, if you go to Hawaii, the dance, the hula, is more than it's a tourist attraction. When you get off the airport, that's what you see. Or even if you go to India, there's so many people with that you see doing the Indian classical dance forms as well.
Of course,
and people,
exactly. You'll see your Bharatanatyam dancer there, your Kathak dancer there, because it's the beauty of the classical style. And that's what people, when they think about India, they just think about that straight away, if not Bollywood, you know. So they that visual is there. I don't know, the tourist kind of, I don't want to say cliche in any way, but it, you know, that's what people think when they think of India.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And also, you know, while preparing for the show and reading about the type of dance that you do, I also was learning, you know, like in China and other parts of the world, people use dance to ward off evil spirits. and for good luck. And I remember, like, back home when we had babies, when people gave birth, there were certain songs and dances that the old people would sing. And it is so true that even though they didn't speak the language, the English language, some of these folks, the older folks, they would sing in Hindi. And it brings back a lot of memories for myself that through the dance form and the singing, they were able to protect this baby.
But I think that brings into, within that comes religion and superstition. And that's why these songs also come from. So I think that mixes culture with religion and superstition. And it's all part of our upbringing. We'll all remember. I mean, I know that in India, you put a black dot just behind your ear to ward off evil spirits. I mean, I've never done that because I'm not superstitious, but people still believe that, you know, and that's stemming from religion mixed with superstition. But then it comes into the arts as well. Of course it does. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, so what you do, it's very creative and very artistic. Talk to us a little bit. How do you balance the artistic exploration with creating work that resonates with a broad audience? Because you have quite an audience from, I mean, it's worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, I obviously, being on social media, it's worldwide, but I do live in my little bubble here in my little place in Madrid. And I think about my people here, my students and the people who are going to come and see the show. And if it resonates with people outside of that, then fabulous. But generally what I do create is for people to enjoy themselves, you know, to something. I mean, I'm producing a show in May. It's a student show, but I've upped the level a little bit, saying we want it. Just imagine you're doing like a Got Talent, and I want you to create 4 minutes of an amazing performance. And the theme this year is the movies of Shah Rukh Khan, who is obviously, for those who don't know, is a very famous actor in Bollywood. And because he's obviously has a, I don't know how many decade long career, so we're going to go through his movies, and you know that helps with the creativity, because you're seeing the movies, you're being inspired by them, and there's so much fun to be had with them. So this year I'm actually creating for three different groups, which is lovely. So
yeah,
I love doing it. I love creating. I'm at home in my pajamas with my cat, creating and choreographing, and then I'll go to the studio and I'll teach, and I love it.
And how do you approach the when you have to collaborate with the dancers and integrating their individual strengths into what you're choreographing?
Well, generally, if it's one of my own shows with my professional dancers, then I know what each of them can do. Obviously, with students is different because I have to work to their level. But with my dancers, if I'm creating my own professional show, then I would want to push them. I go, okay, this is what I want here. What can you do? So I have it. I already have it more or less marked 95% of the choreography in my head. But then there's also a way where I can be shown stuff to amplify and make it even bigger and better. So it's always nice, because I choreographed a show called Bollywood the Cabaret, and obviously I'm not it's a mixture of so many stars. I'm not a flamenco dancer, but I've got dancers who do know some flamenco, so they will help me on things that will work. I have an idea, and other dancers who do jazz and ballet and everything, so I can that's the magic of Bollywood as well, because we can mix so much and fuse so much. So that is more of a collaboration, and I enjoy doing that. So we're in the studio and we're just playing around with ideas that I've already formed more or less, and they just add that flavor to it that I think will work.
Yeah. And where do you get your strength from when you start a new piece? Because I'm sure you have to devise new pieces all the time.
Oh, well, every week I'm choreographing, because with my own regular classes, I do a new choreography every week. And like most choreographers and colleagues of mine as well, we're sitting at home, we're seeing what songs we want to create and what moves us. Because when you've got the feeling and the thought, it's really easy to choreograph, in my opinion. It just comes naturally. And generally, I choreograph maybe 1 or 2 in the a.m. in the morning. Yeah. That's when my choreography juices are flowing.
It seems as though every woman I know, sometimes they get that aha moment at 1 a.m. Yeah. I once sent a text out to someone at 2 a.m. and listened to me lie, and I said, "Oh, I just woke up for a drink of water." But I did not. I don't know if I sent that to you. But the thing is, it's
wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I try not to make noise for my neighbors, but sometimes I'm in my bed choreographing my head. So in my, then when I wake up the next morning, I try and put it into my body by moving and see if it works. And it's not until I get into the studio, when if I'm choreographing a group, and obviously I'm here on my own, I won't know if it works or not. So I'm saying, listen, I don't know if this is going to work, but let's try this. You know, there's 10 of them, and I don't know if it's going to work for 10, or, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. But it's fun. I mean, and I actually seriously do enjoy teaching, because you've got artists who are very good dancers or very good teachers. I think I'm a good dancer and a good teacher. You know, I'm not incredible at everything, but I think the package is there in that I can do both, and I have done for, my God, nearly 40 years now. So yeah.
Are there a lot of
right, I think.
So Sneha, are there a lot of Indian people from India, from the diaspora in Spain? Do they celebrate everything like we do here?
There is a, I mean, there's a big Sindhi community here. I'm Gujarati, so I'm not necessarily part of that community. So they do have their cultural events, and, you know, I get invited. Sometimes I dance, and I have to have a few friends. My students are generally all Spanish. I do sometimes get some Indians coming in, because there's also a lot of Indians who are studying. And so there's a lot of Bollywood parties happening as well in the actual university, because I think it's the International Business School here. Has a lot of Indians, so they have their events and stuff. They're all young, obviously, having their Bollywood parties. So there are some. It's not. I mean, I could go walking down the street and not see one Indian. So it's not like a massive community in any way compared to other cities. It's still not multicultural here.
Well, you know, dance has the ability to bring people together, right? But what I noticed with the Indian diaspora, no matter where Indian people live, they're very successful. They're very successful because they're so focused on wherever they're living, giving back.
Yeah.
And I'm sure.
It's business. I mean.
Yeah, go ahead. And I mean, you saw that in the UK, and you saw that in Spain as well.
Yeah.
And I saw that growing up as a child as well. So tell our listeners a little bit about what you noticed with the cultural part of the Indian diaspora and how they give back where they live.
Well, the Indians generally are very successful because it's the community generally is quite business minded, and so they will go into businesses. And I mean, Spain is not a country where you just want to have a regular job, because wages are so low here. So if you want to do well anywhere, you have to have a business. I think it's not easy, and in the UK even more so. Here, well, for example, there's a lot of restaurants, but most of the restaurants here are run by Bangladeshis, and so in the UK. You've got the big businesses. I mean, the Indians in. I mean, you've got. I mean, Rishi Sunak. He was prime minister. I mean, come on. You know, you were. You had the highest position in the country. You had an Indian. So there are people who are very, very successful. And yeah, there's the cultural events that happen are supported by a lot of these business people. So it's a good thing, isn't it? And I think that. I mean, you've got obviously people who are very successful are generally also. A lot of people from maybe a higher caste. I mean, that I don't know if that's a negative thing to say, but, you know, they do very well, and there's a lot of business and a lot of money there, and I don't know who they're necessarily voting for.
So they immigrate
altogether.
I hear what you're saying. They immigrate with a purpose, you know. Either people are educated, they go back to college, and they, you know the old thing, before the kid is born, you tell them you want to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, open a business, right? And that's pretty much uniformed all over. So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sneha and Friends, we're speaking with Sneha Misra, and she was born in the UK. She's a choreographer, a singer, a dancer, and a presenter of radio and television. So tell us, where can we find you if somebody in the United States wanted to look up your website and see the type of dances you offer, and maybe if somebody wanted to book you for an event?
Sure. I mean, I think I'm more active now on Instagram, which is just Mystery Dancers, Mystery with two I's. Mystery Dancer, TikTok as well. This is where we met on TikTok. So, hey, I mean, it works. It's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a Sneha Mystery. And website, I had a website for a long time, but I don't think anyone uses websites anymore. No. Obviously on Facebook as well. It's more social media these days, isn't it? So yeah, Instagram I think is the main thing. That's where I post all my videos there. The silly things, the fun things. I mean,
but you're also you have such a good heart as well, because when I read some of the things you write, you like me, you understand that people have to work for a living and there's absolutely nothing wrong with making money, but you also care about social issues, which to me is very endearing. You care about things like the environment, and like me, you would prefer no wars, whereas, I mean, we do have them. And I find that sometimes you meet somebody on a platform and you're not sure where that person is going, but you stay true to your art form, which is really good.
Yeah, I mean, on my TikTok, I always there's a little bit of dancing, there's a little bit of my cat, there's a little bit of silly dance videos, and there's also my thoughts and my opinions on things. So I obviously, now with what's going on in the world, you can't stay silent, can you? I mean, it's just horrific seeing what's going on in the world. So you have to stand up for people who can't necessarily stand up for themselves. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to do anything, but it just, I don't know, you have to speak up, whatever influence you may or may not have. So yeah.
Now, do you have any family in Spain, or is your family, are they all in the UK or in India?
Yeah, most of them are no one in Spain. I came here on my own. I feel I have a family now. I have a great group of friends and students and my partners here as well. And so, and my cat. And so I have my family here. In the UK is where most of my family are. My dad's, unfortunately my dad passed away last year, but my dad's side of the family are all in India still, but my mom's side of the family are nearly all in the UK, in Leicester and London and places like that.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, it was wonderful.
Close enough.
It was wonderful having you call in and speak to us about your life and what you're doing and sharing your information with us. And I think you should write a book. I really do. I think with the life experience you have.
My dad said that to me before my dad passed away. He goes, "You must write a book." I'm like, my life is not that interesting compared to the lives of other people who I've been influenced and inspired by. I'm just plodding along and enjoying the ride with my little adventures along the way. But it's not. I mean, there are people who are so important and so interesting. So no, I won't.
But you know what it is, Sneha. You have found the secret to happiness. And it's sometimes, I think you found the secret to true happiness, because a lot of people, as you get older and bolder and wiser, you understand that it's good to have money, but what's really the best thing of all is to enjoy this earthly journey that we call life, and to find your purpose in life. And you found your purpose, and you're leaving a good footprint behind.
I mean, I have no idea why anyone is alive, why we are here. And it's like, well, when I pass eventually, people talk about legacy. Well, legacy doesn't mean anything because I won't be here to enjoy it. I won't, if there's a statue, I won't see it, so it doesn't matter. So the journey you have to make sure that you're doing as good as you can. And money's never been a major as an artist, it's impossible to really have money, so you can't think that's my goal. But as long as you have enough to just be okay, you know, I don't need expensive things, I don't need a car, I don't need, you know, designer clothes, I don't need any of that. And I don't think any of that is important when you think about the people you meet, and just that, people you meet, that to me is that's it, that's all life is about, because we're all gonna go. What's the point of being greedy or evil or doing bad? I don't understand it. I just don't understand why people are evil. It makes no sense to me.
You're speaking to the choir. We all that's a million that's the million dollar question. But you know, I know that the great Saint Tulsidas, before he passed away, there's a quote that I like to quote all the time, that he said, the three evils of life is greed, anger, and lust.
Yeah.
And when I look around and I see what's going on politically, not just in the United States, but around the world, those three words, the lust and the anger and the greed, it is so true, because men and women lose their marbles over those three things. And it's like, dude, relax.
I don't mind lust for chocolate. I think there's a need for that.
Well, I think they're talking about a different kind. I, I'll be honest. I lust after chicken tikka masala. And it has to have a lot of pepper.
You've got to have a little bit of something is okay.
It must have a lot of pepper in it. And Brad Pitt, of course. But oh, yeah. We'll talk about Brad another time.
Brad. I don't know what's going on with Brad.
Well, once again, thank you so much for tuning in and sharing the airwaves with us here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. It's been such a pleasure. All of us have already looked up all of your things, and we'll make sure that all of our websites and social media are connected to you, and we will follow your journey as we go through. We're going to take a little time now to listen to our sponsors here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9. Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered.
Okay. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Boy, we're having another show right here on the radio. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. And really quick, before we go to the India Fest ladies, Ellen, if you could take a few seconds and just quickly remind or get our listeners about what's happening at Green Gables.
That's right. February 27th, the Green Gables Evening in Paris Gala to support the grand property right there on Riverside, which is Green Gables. The tickets are $85 each. If you get a table, they're for $640. And our band, Phoenix, is going to be playing there. It's going to be a fantastic evening of appetizers, dinner, cash bar, desserts provided. There's going to be a live auction with Channel 13. Greg Pallone will be there as well. And you can bid for a helicopter ride, a discovery flight, and a private airplane, and an entire photography package, and much, much more. So hopefully everyone gets their tickets. I believe Tuesday is the last day to purchase tickets for the gala event on February 27th.
Right. And without further ado, I'm going to go right to our friends, my good friend Yasmeen Majeed and Rashmi Shah. They're here. They're co-chairs for India Fest, which I don't know if we have any new listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, but India Fest has been around for 28 years.
Wow.
And actually, the proceeds, 28 or 29?
29. Actually, India Fest
is 31.
Really?
But,
Well, guess what? We're going to have Rashmi tell our listeners about India Fest and why she became a co-chair, and we're going to chat. So talk to our listeners. Welcome to our show, Rashmi Shah. Talk to our listeners a little bit about India Fest and how did it get started?
So India Fest started 31 years back. Our co-chair, Nina Garodia, had a vision to do something and make Indian community more famous, and people can recognize them. And now, since last 31 year, every year we are doing India Fest, but this is our 29th event because 2 years because of the
COVID, yes,
and
a hurricane 1 year.
1 year because of the hurricane, mm-hmm. we could not do it. And 1 year we could not do it because of the COVID. So this will be 29th event for India Fest.
So exciting.
It is.
I love it. Every single year that it comes, it's the outfits and the food and the exposure to fantastic artists and the Indian community that really provides so much that I think that gets kind of like overlooked until we have an India Fest. It's awesome.
So Yasmin, can you tell me a little bit about how you got involved with India Fest?
Well, like Nina said, Rashmi said, Nina is the brain. This is her brainchild. I always tell her it's her kid, so she can't leave it. She does not have the option to leave it. Anyway, she started this, and 31 years ago? My son was just about 6 months old when she called me and asked me to help with advertising and stuff. And so I said, sure, no problem. She assured me it will only be on the phone or something like that. Well, here I am. I think I've been
31 years later.
Well, I've been involved in it like 29 years.
Yeah.
But History of India Fest is 31 years. And like Rashmi said, 1 year due to the hurricane, we couldn't have one. And then a few years ago due to COVID.
Right. And so Rashmi, every year, India Fest, I mean, obviously they charge a little bit for the entrance to get in, and they have to. There's so much stuff going on in there that people have to pay for. But the tickets are reasonably priced, and so much of the proceeds from India Fest goes to so many charities. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the charitable places that you all give the donations to?
Means we have done lot of local charities, and so far we have given almost $1.4 million. We have done for the disaster. We have done for Promise of Reward.
Serene Harbor. What is the one with?
I see you raising your hand. Go ahead. If you have some.
Well, we have done scholarships as well for FIT, $100,000, and Eastern Florida State College a few years ago.
The Children's Hunger Project.
The Children's Hunger Project. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Promise and Brevard. We bought them a van to assist kids with mobility issues to move them around from one place to the other. So we have done a lot of big charities. We also, every year on a yearly basis, we support, I think about 10 local charities.
Local charities,
smaller organizations.
Yeah, and to put on a festival such as India Fest, and by the way, let's tell our listeners what dates it's going to be on this year.
This is going to be March 7th and 8th, and We can really do it this one successfully because we have lots of people, the sponsorer, like for a long time from the day one, our main sponsorer, the big sponsorers like a Health First, Mercedes Audio Porsche of Melbourne, and L3 Harris, and we have so many other like lawyers, bankers, any oil company, and
doctors.
Lot of community.
And it starts what time does it start?
It starts on the 7th
10 a.m.
to 6 p.m.
10 to 6 and a Sunday 11 to 5.
Okay, and the big question a lot of people want to know, is it pet friendly?
No, we don't allow the pet, only the service dogs.
Service dogs. And there's good parking, we know that.
Oh.
And Danny here said earlier that he comes to India Fest because of the food.
Absolutely.
He's been saving his little change. He's tucking it away. He's got his money put aside. So he's got $20-$30 just to eat the chicken tikka masala. And the samosas. Look at him. Just look at him.
Oh, you turned us all on to chicken tikka masala.
Yeah, we did. We did. So Yasmin, how do you guys decide on the theme? Because year after year, India Fest gets better and better and better. I know when my children were little, Michael and Kimberly, they came they did some of the shows on stage sometimes. Mm-hmm. I remember Mikey Maudlin one year. He knocked our socks off, thinks he was Shah Rukh Khan on the stage. You know, he was strutting his stuff. And then he tried to take the show in a different way. And he wanted to do yoga. We're like, no, you're not here for that. You're just here to walk. You can't do nothing foot fancy up there. So he never was invited back. But anyways, so Yasmin, talk to us about the theme.
Well, for 29 years, we've always done a theme India Fest, representing different aspects of India, music of India, the landscape of India. We actually did the theme that we're doing this year, which is Dynamic Women of India. We did Women of India many years ago, but not the Dynamic Women of India.
Uh-huh. You know, Yasmin, you're from Guyana, right? You're Indian heritage, born. But you know, I would think, and maybe we should get our friend Shara one day to just share this with you all. But there's a song called Pani Karo, where mm-hmm. you put a little cup of water on your head and you dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I tell you something, if you play Pani Karo at IndieFest, you will get even Danny to dance. Because that song gets everybody up.
Or
and
not.
I often wonder, like, maybe take like 5 minutes and do something like that and to show the Caribbean part of,
I think,
of
I
chutney.
I think you have an idea. You stumble onto something. Maybe 1 year we'll have a fusion India Fest.
Or just 5 minutes. You know? I mean, Pani Karo is only 5 minutes. Or even Tiny Whiny.
Tiny Whiny is a little bit wild.
It's a little wild, whining your boom boom and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, I think Pani Karo, because I am going to that.
I see you're very excited.
You should be in the show one time.
I should be in the committee, right?
No, you can be in the show too. You can participate.
All right, Ellen, we're
on.
All right, I'm on.
Ellen, we're on. We're bringing up Pani Karo. So Rashmi, we're doing what we can here to promote India Fest because we believe in what you do. What you all are doing is culturally the most beautiful thing you can do to bring India to people. A lot of people can't afford a plane ticket. They can't sit in a plane 18 hours to go to India. And you're bringing India to us here in Brevard. So where else can people find more information about India Fest if they wanted to bring their children and grandchildren? It's a family fun event.
Yeah, so it's on our website, indiafestbrevard.org. They can get all the information. And we have put it lots of places. The big sign in Brevard, main junction, and lots of hotels, lots of restaurants, so they can pick up anywhere. But mainly they can, if they don't want to go, they can just go on IndiaFestBrevard.org and they will have all the information on that.
Right. And you know what I like, Yasmin, about India Fest is you guys, you bring in so much tourism dollars with India Fest because Indians like to relax on the weekend. I know everybody likes to work, come home and do something on the weekend, and everybody else does too, right? But you'll have Indian people from Tampa coming and staying in a hotel, people from Georgia, people from Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, the minute they hear that something is going on, they're booking a hotel.
In Orlando.
Right? Mm-hmm. They have to eat. They spend dollars here. They put gas in their cars. They eat out. And so it's really a fun family event. And I, God bless you guys. I hope you could do it forever. Of course, you know, we wouldn't be here forever, the young ones would. But talk to us a little bit what you have for the children, because I know you have a lot of games and a lot of fun activities as well.
Yes.
It's not just the cultural shows and eating. There's actually a science behind this. The children get to participate as well.
Correct. Yes, we do have a lot of our attendance is last year was about 10,000. And that's just not Brevardians. It's people from different areas of Florida. Maybe some are out of Florida even. In addition to our guests coming through to enjoying the festivities, we have vendors that are coming from various parts of Florida and out of Florida. So they need to stay in hotels and eat food and do all of that as well. So, yeah, we do. The event do contribute to the economy of the county, and we're happy to be part of that. And glad and hope that it continues as well forever, but none of us are here forever. Regarding the activities for the kids, for the little ones, we have, you know, the traditional jump houses and stuff like that. They can go spend all day on there, enjoy themselves and their parents. And it's all fenced in, so it's pretty safe. And someone is always there to monitor it. So the kids can have a good time while the parents are also having a good time, right?
Yes.
Also, we have our youth booth that actually carry through the theme of the year into the youth booth. And they have games such as chess, and they have this year that we're going to have a mathematician giving some good hints to solving some mathematical equations and so on and so forth. And they have a lot of hands-on activities as well. Our Discover India booth actually portrays our theme of the year. Like I said earlier, it's the Dynamic Woman of India.
Yeah.
They'll be having a few examples, like Indira Gandhi, who was the first woman of India, now deceased. Lata Mangeshkar, who was a popular, phenomenal playback singer, female singer. And then we have somebody, Shakuntala Devi, if anybody knows. She was actually known as the human computer. Mm-hmm. There was a movie on her well.
Yeah.
You all can go out and look at that. And then we have current day people like Priyanka Chopra Jonas, which I probably doesn't need any explanation,
right?
And we have
knows her.
And we'll have Aishwarya Rai. She was Miss World 1994, also became a very famous world actress, and I believe she's ambassador for UNAIDS program. And then we have for sports, we can't forget sports, cricket. We have Harmanpreet Kaur. She's a popular woman cricketer. Cricket usually was a very male-dominated sport, and now women has become a very an integral part of the sport.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things.
We forget Anushka running up to hug and kiss her husband when they won the match.
Exactly.
I mean, that was in everybody's heart, and what a couple! You know?
Exactly.
What a great couple.
I want to say really quickly before we run out of time that every year, as we mentioned before, we have many charities that we support. But every year, India Fest does pick one big charity. And when I say big, we usually donate in excess of $10,000 to the charity. This year, we have two charities we have picked. Ways for Life, and that's they provide a wraparound youth service for teens and young adults formerly in foster care and those experiencing homelessness. The program envisions the future where all at-risk youth, 15 to 25, will have access to support services to empower them to thrive and be independent and have a good life.
Yeah.
Brevard Achievement Center is our next program, and they provide persons with disability services and opportunities to achieve their own personal successes so they can participate in all facets of life.
Yeah. And you know what? I like that the theme is, the charitable donations that you all give. It's always centered about helping people, guiding the young people,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that people here in Brevard benefit from mm-hmm. what's going on at India Fest. So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're speaking to the co-chairs, Yasmin Majid and Rashmi Shah, two of them anyways. There's more of them that work on India Fest. And what began in 1996 as a small community gathering with people who wanted to share the Indian culture has grown into something to where thousands of people come to Wickham Park and enjoy India Fest. And the festival, it draws thousands of people and revives and give back to the economy right here in Brevard as well. And beyond that, India Fest is rooted in a mission of cultural harmony and community service. And I think many times we talk about community service and people talk behind closed doors, but they don't actually go out and mm-hmm. do it. And the folks who are involved with India Fest, not only are they talking about it, but they're actually doing it. And I think we often have to give you all a round of applause because there are so many people that say, I want to do this and I want to do that and I have a vision for it. But Nina Gadodia and you, Rashmi, I know hand in hand, you two always, always, always put the people of Brevard first. So thank you so much.
Welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
So talk to us a little bit about what do we expect this year when we walk into India Fest. Sometimes you have the most beautiful stages, you have cooking shows, you have the children's booth, you have the fashion shows. anything that you all are adding on this year that we should tell our listeners about?
Our setup is pretty much the same every year. Usually what's different every year is the theme of the year, which drives the Discover India booth, drives some of the action on the stage, of course, the youth booth. And of course, there will be plenty vendors selling from clothing and jewelry to arts and crafts stuff. And of course, food.
Henna.
Food.
Yeah, henna.
Well, thank you. Yes, henna. We have one or two booths doing henna as well. So there'll be something for everyone.
Good. So Rashmi, talk to us about the food, because the food lovers like Danny here, he's coming just for the food, because I know there's a variety of Indian cuisine. Look at his face. He can't even wait. March 7th, Danny, put it down. So there'll be, talk to us about the kind of food vendors that are there.
Means we'll have some Gujarati kind of food, South Indian. Means like all different varieties of the state of the India will have a different variety of the foods. And we're going to have a cooking demonstration also. So people can go there and they can watch it, and they want to have that. And then they can try the food once they see how they do that. And then they want to see more about it. They can go on the indiafestbrewer.org. On the website.
And get the recipes.
So they can get the recipe. Right. And I think they're going to have that QR code, right?
Over there? Yes, yes.
So we can have a QR code and they can do that and they can get the recipe.
Right. And how much are the tickets? Somebody just texted me and said, how much are the tickets this year for India Fest?
Adults are $8. Children under 12 is $4. 12 and under is $4, sorry. And under 5 are free. So it's very reasonable.
Yeah, you know, for our listeners who are tuning in, the good folks who put India Fest on every year, the organizers, they're encouraging the community to come out and enjoy this weekend. It's a fun-filled weekend. You could do Saturday and Sunday, or you could do one day.
Correct.
Whatever you choose. Mm-hmm. And you could bring your children. If you have a loved one who is in a wheelchair or something, it's a Wickham Park. It's very even. You don't have to worry about uneven surfaces. I've been there and I enjoy it. And so would you say, when you said Discover India, Rashmi, there's so many people that you say, you know, Discover Ireland, Discover India, Discover the Caribbean. But people always think about, you know, like Slumdog Millionaire. They think about the slums in India. They don't understand that there's so much more than that. So take a little few minutes and talk to our listeners about your birthplace, where you were born.
I was born in India, in Gujarat. And so that is more closer to the Mumbai. And I was born there in 1949. And I came to the USA in 1976. Before that, I was in Africa. But since 1976, I am here. And this is my home place.
And this is where you and Mr. Shah give back so much. And we certainly appreciate you. And Rashmi, you and I are from the Caribbean. And of course, we got hailed out by Bad Bunny. And I swear, I never seen Guyanese so happy in my whole life. All of a sudden, they're all Spanish. And they say, they're not even saying Guyana. They switch it to a Spanish accent.
That's because of the flag was
there.
Yeah,
yeah. I saw the Trinity flag. Somebody called me and said, you see the Trinity flag? And I said, I sure did. And I felt good. I felt like it was a unifying event.
Yes,
it
absolutely.
Made us feel so wonderful about the world. Mm. Because, you know, what is our role as humans, right? Our role is God gave us this blessed life, Lord Shiva, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, whoever you want to call him. What a beautiful life. It's a vacation. It's a journey on planet Earth. And do we make mistakes? Sure. Mm-hmm. Do we learn from them? Yes. And do we find our purpose? I find mine a little bit late in life, but I love it. And I think it's our inherent right to leave the planet a better place. And for people who don't know Indians, Indian culture, Indian heritage, Indian people, all we want to do is work and pay our taxes and survive like everybody else, no matter where God put us. We belong. So we add value to life. We do, because we're just the kind of people that we understand that we're born to die.
Well, if we weren't here, if we weren't here, who would know about chicken tikka masala and tandoori chicken?
Right,
I know. Exactly.
And only two things are real, right? We know for sure we're going to born and we know we're going to leave the planet. So tell me a little bit about Guyana and your background with getting involved at India Fest and mixing and mingling with our Indian counterparts from India.
So, yes, I was born in Guyana. I left, I did my high school there and left there and went to Canada at the age of 16. Did my college years there. Then I lived in Canada for, I think, 18 years. Then I met my husband on a trip here to Florida. And a few years after that, we got married, and here I am.
And you get, and you're giving back.
And I'm giving back. And then my involvement with India Fest really taught me. I really thought I was Indian, you know, growing up in Guyana, because that's what you are. But getting involved with the community, the Indian community here in Brevard County, made me realize I was not fully Indian yet.
Yeah.
I became more Indian.
You're learning.
I learn a lot. Exactly. I learn a lot. And being Indian is so much more than the color of your skin.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Trinidad, we're so bold-faced that the Indians in Trinidad feel they know everything.
Correct.
Yeah. Like when Prime Minister Modi went, he said this is, I mean, he was blown away by the cultural aspect mm-hmm. of Trinidad with, you know, the prayers. And we have Muslims and Hindus and mm-hmm. Christians and like yesterday, somebody
and
said
live in
the prime
harmony.
Minister was yeah. who the prime minister, who's a good friend of the family. She was at a Calypso fete the night before, and then yesterday she was throwing milk on Lord Shiva on the linga. They said, "Look at this!" But that is what culture is.
Yeah.
She was able to appreciate the Calypsonians the night before, and she wore costume and everything. And the next day, she was at a temple. You know, being with the Indian community and the Hindu community, and there are people of African descent in that temple as well, putting dar on Lord Shiva too. And I think this is what the world needs, is more unity. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that your culture or your religion or your race is better than mine.
Correct.
At the end of the day, like Yasmin said, learn something. So when you go to India Fest, it's you're learning something about India. And if you like it, like so
culture.
Many people that
yeah.
go back,
and the culture,
cultural,
yeah.
yeah, for the cultural aspect of it, people go year after year because they love the dancing.
Mm-hmm.
They love the shows, mm-hmm. the cooking shows. They love the idea that the children are included. And our culture is one that includes everybody.
And I want to say,
from the child to the old lady in the wheelchair or the old guy, right?
Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, you know, there's all-day stage show. Yes, there's all-day stage show. Dances and music, and I want to say all of it is volunteered. We're, you know, no one gets paid to do any of that, and so we have to thank our volunteers for coming year after year, doing endless hours of practicing before they show up there, and they're happy and eager to do it.
Well,
and
you know,
so we
when you volunteer like that, and as part of the community, Rashmi, we have 1 minute left. There's a sense of camaraderie. There's a sense that you're working together for a common goal. And that goal is to promote your culture in such a diverse place as Brevard County, Florida, and show the entire world who we are.
Yeah, you are right. I think the India Fest is always be successful with the volunteer. Everybody works with their heart, and we don't have anything paid or anything, and that is why we can save some money. Everybody works. Everybody's volunteer for every committee. And even the stage group, everybody just dance there. They do their own thing. So it is really got to all communities gather to make us successful.
Yeah. And give us the date one more time and the place. Go ahead.
Wickham Park, March 7th and March 8th. Saturday, 10 to 6 p.m. and Sunday, 11 to 5 p.m.
Right. And for
tickets, $8 adults, 12 children, 12 and under, up to 12, sorry, is $4 and under 5 are free.
And yeah. I posted it on our website already and also on our social media. And there's also a ticket link. So that people can buy their tickets online.
Yeah,
thank
you
so
much.
Yeah, they can buy online too.
Yes.
Tickets can be bought online so people don't have to stand up in line.
And we are so excited. We can't wait to go. One of the things I love about it is the fact that there's Indian culture in all of these different countries, and they all bring it to just Correct. Like Guyana, just like Trinidad. Correct. So once again, we're just celebrating the world here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends,
and don't forget,
celebrating.
They have a raffle. If somebody wants to win some money, bring some change, get involved with the raffle. Yeah.
Bring a few dollars, that's for sure.
Bring some money.
Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in
bring
to Viewpoint
some money
with
and
Sita
spend
and
some money.
IndiaFestBavar.org.
That's right. Thank you so much for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We'll see you next week, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1510 WWBC.
Thank you.
We got it.